It's Monday, 8th of December 2014. This is HPR episode 1656 entitled My Audio Player Collection. It is hosted by Dave Morris's and is about 21 minutes long. Feedback can be sent to dave.morris's@gmail.com or by leaving a comment on this episode. The summary is, I describe the collection of audio players I use for listening to podcasts.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hello, Hacker Public Radio. This is Dave Morris. I've got a show for you today. I'm doing it in a bit of a rush because we're so low on shows. So if you have anything planned, partly done, please hurry and get it ready because the queue's going to be empty soon. My talk today is about my audio player collection. Now, I mentioned this when I did a show a while back about the podcast I listened to, and I got a email from Mike Ray saying, you fancy talking about the players that you've got? So here you go, Mike, here's the show. Well, I got broadband installed in my house fairly late on, I guess, about 2005. I just bought my first PC. Seems a bit odd, but I'd owned a lot of PCs before that. But I worked at a university, and there was a regular cycle of every few years refurbishing all the student PCs and chucking out effectively all the old ones. So I used to grab these. They were available to staff in the university for nothing or very small amounts. And I used to use several of them actually at home, getting to the dial-up at work around that time. So I got fairly cheap internet that way. But of course, it was amazingly slow. Anyway, broadband came in. I'd got sick of listening to the radio. I used to be quite a keen radio listener most of the time that I could, but I was getting fed up with the program content and timing issues and so on, and then I discovered podcasts. So I decided I want a portable audio player. I think we called them MP3 players then, but obviously things have moved on a fair bit. So since that point, I've been listening to podcasts pretty much all the time, as you might have gathered if you heard my other shows, and I've bought a number of players. So I thought it might be interesting if I listed these. Sorry about the list structure of this thing, but I'm a geek, I have to do lists. So the first player, and there's show notes in parallel with this, by the way, and it's got pictures, if you like pictures of players. First one was an iRiver IFP899 in 2005. A very neat little device. You can see in the picture if you've got that. Then with a monochrome screen and a joystick, it had a little inbuilt microphone, which is remarkably good actually, and played MP3 in WMA. It just took a single AA battery, which I thought was rather nice actually, and looked, when you plugged it into a PC, looked just like a simple USB storage device, so it's easy to access. Had a dedicated lock switch on the side, and easy to operate, and disabled all the buttons. And it also came with a cover, which is quite nice. Not a bad one either. Pretty expensive, £120, but it was highly recommended. I think this was the model that was discussed on TLLTS, which I'd started listening to around that time. I was listening to it on my PC, but they were talking about a device and how much they liked it, and I'm pretty certain it was this one. And Adam Curry was also very much into this machine and carried it around everywhere with a microphone plugged into it, I think. but sadly it didn't last all that long. The main problem was that that joystick let dust and crud from my pocket in, and the protective cover didn't protect it, and that gummed up the works, and I've never been able to fix it. One day I might, if I feel bold enough, rip it apart and give it a shot, but so far I've been too much of too cowardly to attack it. So once that had died, I'm still really sad about that, because that's why I still preserve it. It's such a pretty looking thing, to my reckoning anyway. The next one after this was Samsung YPZ5A. Got this in 2006. It's a 4 gig machine, it's therefore a much larger capacity, and a somewhat neater shape, being a flat rectangular thing. And it also plays OG. The other one didn't have a radio or a microphone like the other one, but plenty of space. The controls on this device I really liked. A lot of people said they didn't like this in the reviews, but I thought it was good, and it also had a nice metal, I think it was all metal case actually, a nice metal switch on the top that you could lock the controls, which I really liked. It developed a few problems. I think the switches in the front panel control have gone a bit dicey, but it still works and is still used occasionally. There has been talk of somebody implementing a Rockbox version for this, but I don't think anything's come of it. I've not found anything anyway. So as this one was going, I thought, well, you know, it's still going strong, or fairly strong anyway. I wanted another one, really, so that I could be listening to stuff when the battery gone flat on the one that I'd been using before. I wanted to be able to alternate between two, so I thought I'll go and buy another one. And like the Samsung, and saw the YPQ1 model, and that's a 16 gig device, so I went and bought that. It had some really good reviews, looks pretty, you know, it's got lovely color screen, but it proved to be a pretty bad buy. The controls are amazingly sensitive. You just almost hover your finger over them and they do something. Maybe I'm clumsy, I've got two big fingers, but I just could not drive this thing properly. I found it incredibly difficult to use. And the second problem, which I hadn't worked out before I bought it, was that you need Windows, a bit of software that runs on Windows to interface to it, or do anything significant, let's say. If you want to access it through USB on a Linux box, which I did work out how to do, you need to run MTP to do it. The radio is excellent. The sound quality of the thing is great, and it can also play MP3 OG and FLAC, but just wasn't the right machine. They seem to have taken their eye off the ball when they were designing this. I'm not quite sure when I bought this, around 2008. Just as an aside, this is a case, I think, where Amazon database broke, because the when I try and look details of this one up in my purchase history, there used to be anyway a report from Amazon saying we can't seem to access the database or something. I think their database crashed and they lost this bit, which as a geek it bothers me enormously. It shouldn't be, it's disgusting. Anyway, that was a joke, by the way. Next was, I had to get something better than this one, so I went hunting and saw the SanDisk Sansa Fuse. Bought this in 2009, again off Amazon. This is the one I bought was a 4 gig device, and price well down now, £66.75 according to my very, very detailed records. Brilliant, wonderful player, love it. Bought a hard case for it, which has protected very well. Unfortunately, the case is starting to fall apart now. It's been going well for a number of years. It's had a great color display, the controls are just so brilliant to use. I love them. The only downside of it for me is the little switch on the side, the power switch, where the in the native software, where the locking function is, you're supposed to slide it in reverse. And I find it really hard to get my fingers to, especially with a case on. You need a long fingernail to sort of poke in there, and it's quite small and fragile. I'd like to be able to glue something on it to make it better. Might do that at one point. Didn't like the native software very much, so this was the point I looked at Rockbox and decided to start using it. And I installed it on here, and it makes it an even better device. It's brilliant. It played loads and loads of formats, got loads of features. If you're into players, you probably aren't, because there's only a few of us that are, I imagine, these days, then using it with Rockbox is absolutely vital, I would suggest. You can extend the size with an SDHC card, I think up to 32 gigs. Might be more, actually, I'm not sure. 32, I believe. And it's got really good playlist capabilities and all manner of sorting and that type of thing. And it's enormously customizable. There is a later version of the Fuse. You can't buy the standard Fuse, the original Fuse anymore, apart from secondhand. The Fuse Plus, reports are that it's not as usable as this one. I don't have any direct experience. I think they made control buttons on the front, which are nowhere near as usable. Interestingly, this particular Fuse model can sell for almost the same price as the original on eBay. You know how eBay is, it can go really insane with bidding sometimes. You can spend a lot, you can spend 60 odd quid on it if you want to. I don't know why you would, but there you go. So, buoyed up with the delight of the Fuse, I went out and bought a Sansa Clip Plus. I wanted to use this in the gym. I just fancied having something to listen to while I was in the gym. On stair climber or something boring like that. So I got that, and it's a small device, really, really small and neat. It has a clip on the back, not too surprisingly, and the screen is without any color, but who cares? At least you can see stuff on it, you can see what's playing on it and so on. The controls are just great. I love the way they've been put together, and it's pretty robust, apart from the clip. The clip's a little bit fragile. I managed to break it off trying to clip it on a t-shirt in the gym. It just snapped off at one day. Might just be me being clumsy, I don't know. Again, you can extend it. This one was 8 gig. It cost £39, and you can extend it with an SDHC card up to 32 gigs, I believe. And of course, it will take Rockbox, and putting that on there made it much, much better. It doesn't have a dedicated locking switch. In the native software, you're supposed to hold down the home button for a long press, but under Rockbox, you do home plus select, which is fiddly. If I'm listening to stuff on one of these and the phone goes and I want to stop, then too many button presses, I find, many cases. It's a bit of a nuisance, but there you go. What can you expect? This one's quite good for recording stuff, and I've used one of mine anyway, for recording stuff for part of an HBR show, the one on the coffee thingies. And I know Ken Fallon uses a Clip Plus as a backup recording device a lot. So, as I realised that audio players were becoming less popular and more scarce, people using smartphones, I thought, ooh, I better start looking to see if I can have a reserve of players. So my thought was, go and look at the Rockbox site, see what players are compatible, and see if I can find any of them on eBay. So I went off doing this, and the first one I came by was the iRiver H10. This is the 5 gig model. It's an interesting machine. It's really solidly made, a bit heavy and moderately large. It's got a hard disk in it, and it's got a removable battery, so I guess you could get replacements. In fact, I know you can. You can see them on eBay. It's got a colour screen, locking switch. Seems to have all of the features you'd want, really. The only thing is the model I have, which I put Rockbox on, by the way, there's a very faint high-pitched noise when running. I'm not sure if it's the disk drive or something, but it... I don't find it comfortable to listen to. Might just be this one has been around the block a bit. Well, I noticed the picture's got cat hairs on it. You can tell I've got a cat that sheds hair for a bit. Sorry about that. Should have dusted it first. So my hunting for second-hand players continued on with buying another sensor clip from eBay, and that's been great. No problems with them. These are rock solid, brilliant things. I saw iPod Mini, second generation iPod Mini as well on eBay, and bought one of those for a similar sort of price, £17 or so. 4 gig this one was. It's a neat looking little machine, it's quite pretty. But I don't know why people like this. I just find it ugly and unpleasant in its function. Rockbox runs on it. I think it's the last one in the range that will take Rockbox, that for which a Rockbox version has been produced, I imagine. I just find that the hardware seems really clunky and weird. And that scroll wheel doesn't actually turn. It just doesn't appeal to me. I think I've probably been spoiled by non-iPod stuff, non-Apple stuff. Anyway, I wouldn't recommend it, but if you like these things, you might find it's quite good. The one I have seems a little bit weird, but I suppose if you get these off eBay, you never know quite what you're getting. Quite a chunky thing, largely of aluminium, I think. So it should last a long time as far as the external case is concerned. Can't switch it off, hasn't got an off button. That's a thing I find very odd. Well, the only other device worthy of particular note in my collection bought from eBay is another iRiver H10. This is the 6 gigabyte version. Strangely, with just 5 and 6 at some particular point in time. I bought this one because I quite liked the look of the first one and thought, you know, these were good things to invest in. But from its look, it looks pretty much identical to the 5 gig version. But I had terrible trouble trying to install Rockbox on it. I got it on, but I couldn't get it to run. So I did various bits of research on this model. Didn't find anything on the Rockbox site, as I recall. It's a while ago that I did this, but I did find people reporting they'd also had issues getting Rockbox to run on it. So I think there must be some issue with the processor or the firmware or something on this particular device. It just doesn't seem to go. So you might have different experience with this. If you have, it'd be interesting to know. If you were thinking of buying one of these, and they do seem to be pretty cheap on eBay, at least in the UK, then you might want to think twice about buying one for use with Rockbox. Might be good with the native operating system, I don't know. I did carry on buying things on eBay. I bought some more Sansa fuses and another clip. There were three fuses, but they proved to be a bit of a mixed experience. The clip was no problem. I didn't buy it on eBay, in fact. I bought it from play.com, where they were offering a manufacturer refurbished model. And it seems as good as new. It's been absolutely great. I'm hoping that it'll last well and that'll, you know, be available to me way into the future. Two of the three fuse machines I bought gave me problems. I think they were version 1 hardware. If you look in the history of these things, you see there were two versions of it. The version 1 hardware is quite hard to identify, but if they're running native firmware, then it's a version which begins with 0.1. These particular devices seem to randomly dismount themselves when plugged into a PC when you're trying to upload media to them. And there's just been a whole bunch of erratic behavior with them. The third fuse seemed to be much better. It's a version 2 device, I think, anyway, because it had firmware with an 02 version number on it. And that one has behaved as well as the original one that I bought, even though it's second hand. So if you're thinking of a Sansa fuse, you need to be really careful. Ask the vendor what firmware version is on it before you jump. Anyway, I've been really pleased to have these players. They've been amazingly good. I put various things on the different set of players, And so when one runs out of power, I can switch to another one. Or if I'm fed up with listening to podcasts of a particular genre, then I can switch to another one. Or indeed, I've got one with music on. I do have an Android smartphone which I bought about a year ago. It's a Motorola Moto G because it's cheap. There's no way I was paying big money for a smartphone. But I don't want to use that as a music player. It's too big and too heavy to go in a shirt pocket. And I've got shirts that they won't even fit in. And if I bend over, it falls out of my pocket. It's a lot less convenient than a Sansa Fuse or a Clip Plus. You may well have entirely different experience, but that's mine anyway. So I hope that was interesting. There's a few links in the show notes that you might find useful. So don't forget, get yourself to a microphone, to a recorder, even a Sansa Clip if you've got one, and record a show as soon as you can. We really need them at HPR. Okay, thanks. Bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.